I want to speak a bit this morning around the subject of holiness. It's a pertinent subject. It's a subject we don't often speak about. And it's a subject over the years that has been approached from many different angles. And maybe for yourself, when someone gets up behind the pulpit and says, this morning I'm going to speak about holiness, what comes to your mind? What pictures come up? What do you see? What reminders do you have of your Christian experience or messages you've heard? So I think it's a good topic to look at. We like to start with the original meaning of the word, because understand that the New Testament was written in Greek and the Old Testament in Hebrew. And often in the original language, the word itself needs to be examined to see what it means. And it's the word hagios, and it simply means to be set apart. Should come up on the overhead now, about soon. So it's the word hagios, and it speaks about God's character. It's a character. God, we refer to His characteristics. And His characteristics are His love, His all presence, everywhere, every iota space on the in the cosmos, God is present. His power, every atom that spins, every bit of energy released in the universe is His power. He's all-knowing. That means from the beginning of time to the end of time, there's no knowledge that God isn't aware of. So these are what we refer to as God's characteristics of divinity. His omnipresence, His omnipotence, His omniscience, His fact that He is love. God is love. And then in the midst of all that, very clearly, God is holy. It's part of the character, it's part of who God is and what makes God God. James, are we ready yet with that? Hagios. The definition, we are getting to. Or should I just keep reading in the Bible? So I want to just, as I thought about the subject of God's holiness, three things dropped into my mind. Three words. We're actually in the Kruger. Isn't that tough? We were away for a week enjoying God's beautiful creation. And these three words dropped into my mind. It's the standard of holiness, the gift, and the privilege. Just those three words. And I want to just maybe share a little bit of light around that on the subject here. And first of all, I want to speak about the standard. In Exodus 15, verse 11, speaking about the standard of holiness, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders? And then 1 Samuel 6 verse 20 says, then the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? So we see, when it comes to who God is, He gets to set the benchmark of what holiness is. Holiness means God is set apart. The word hagios in the original language means to be set apart. It's the same word that we draw the word sanctification from, sanctified. To be sanctified simply means you are being set apart. God is set apart. That's what makes Him holy. There is nothing like God. There's no imperfection in Him. He's separated from all imperfection. There's no unrighteousness in Him. He's separated from all unrighteousness. He is holy. He is sacred. Hagios can either be set apart by God or set apart for God. As implements in the temple were set apart for God's use. They were sanctified. They were unlike, they were not to be used for any other purposes, but for the purposes of God. They were set apart. And so we see that God sets the standard in Leviticus 11 verse 45. He says, for I am the Lord. Leviticus 11 verse 45. I am the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Amen? Under the law, the standard for holiness was perfect obedience. So when God spoke to his people and said, I'm going to make you holy, I'm going to set you apart from the other nations, he put a system into place called the whole sacrificial system, and the temple and the tabernacle represented this God who would cleanse them from all their sins so that they could be set apart from all the nations. And he wanted to show on earth what his character is like, what his nature is like. God is holy. His holiness is his perfection. Now, under the law, the standard for holiness was that we were perfect. That standard doesn't drop. One time a rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, good master, how can I receive eternal life? And Jesus said, you know the commandments. And he said, and the young ruler was so proud of himself. He said, since I was a young boy, I kept all the Ten Commandments. And Jesus looked at him and smiled and loved this young man. And he said to him, go and sell all you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. And at this, the young man's heart sunk because he was wealthy. And all Jesus was doing was saying to this young man, the Ten Commandments were there not for you to obey so that you could become holy. The Ten Commandments were there to show you that you're not holy and you needed the mercy of God to make you holy. And that's why you brought your lamb, and that's why you brought your turtle dove, and that's why you brought the blood of sacrifice for forgiveness. Although we strive to keep a measure of the Ten Commandments, the level is so high that Jesus had to come and say, anyone who looks on someone with lust has committed adultery. Anyone who gets angry has committed murder. Jesus had to raise the standard because there were many people going around at the time who felt like this young rich ruler that they had somehow accomplished and achieved the standards of God. But Jesus was pointing out to this young man that he had broken commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before the Lord your God. And he was a rich young man, so he didn't want to let go of his good fortune. We see that the standard of the law was so high that God set the benchmark that it would need the total mercy and intervention of God for people to ever be in that class. And that was God's standard. Now, it's not like at school where if you get, what's a pass rate today? I think they dropped it. It used to be 50%, eh? When we were at school it was 50. Then I think it went to 40. No, then it went to 33 and a third. I think it's 25 now. Or it's 20. I don't know. They've kind of just keep dropping the standard to help people pass. I don't know what's going, how that works. Anyway, let me say this, that the holiness and the law of God isn't like that. It's not like if you get 90%, that's a pass rate. Because what's 99% holiness and 1% poison equal? It equals poison. So holiness by the law was a composite whole. In other words, if you broke one little piece of it, the whole thing broke. It's like a big pane of wind of glass. If you throw a stone at it, or if you throw a rock at it, which is worse? You know, if you drive a truck through it, or if you only shoot a small little 2x2 bullet through it. I mean, it's not like it's half broken. It's a quarter broken. It's a third broken. Now, it's either broken or it's not broken. And the law wasn't there for people to uphold, to arrive at holiness. The law was there to show man that he needed God's holiness. And that holiness was God's nature. So then we get to the second point this morning, which is the gift. You see, what God provided, God provides by grace what he demanded by law. God provides by grace what he demands by law. You see, the demand of law doesn't change. God is holy. And his standards are holy. And because he is holy, you will be holy. Hebrews 10 verse 10 says, and by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now what does that word sanctified mean? It's the word hagios, remember? What is the word hagios also interpreted as? Holy. So some translations will read, and by that word we have been made holy through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now run down a few verses to verse 14, and it says, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And I have to go back to my illustration that I used a couple of weeks ago, because if we don't see this in picture, we can forget it. Can I have four volunteers, please? You. You see, I was in the army. Okay, so I've got these people now, never heard the gospel, going through life, and as they walk to that point there, that represents the years of their life, okay? So you all take, walk forward slowly together. Now the Bible says Jesus, before the foundation of the earth, set apart, okay, you can stop, you're moving too fast. Slow down, you move too fast. Okay, for by a single offering is perfected for all time those who, now at some stage, Byron hears the gospel of the love of God. And the Bible says by one sacrifice he has been sanctified. What does sanctified mean? Set apart. So he's been set apart now for God. He's been by one sacrifice made holy. And they keep walking, months, years, decades. Then, who's next? Okay, Kirsty, here's the gospel. Jessica, you try to trick me. You know I'm not good with names. It was ugly. Jessica, you heard. What's name? Jessica. Oh, you Jessica. Oh, don't laugh at me. I only found out Jessica and Byron are an item about 3 weeks ago. Here's the gospel. Jesus touches her. The Bible says, when you put your faith in Christ, what happens? Set apart. What does set apart mean? Sanctified. Made holy. And you keep walking. Thank you. Now you can also, you guys also sanctified, but I just didn't get to that illustration with you. Now the whole point here, the whole point that I'm making is by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Now, our picture was, it was a progressive thing that positionally I was made perfect, but now I'm being sanctified in degrees. But you can't be 99% holy and 1% unholy. That equals unholy. You're either made holy or you're not holy. By one sacrifice. So either Jesus did it perfectly, completely, 100% on the crosses, which we believe, or else we believe we get it in little installments. You know, Sunday by Sunday. There's a little bit more holiness for you. Shh, 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 shh. No, that's crazy. We have been set apart. Those who have been made holy by one time. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. It says, and because of him, talking about Jesus, you are in Christ Jesus. Say, I'm in Christ Jesus. If you put your faith in Christ, Bible says, you are in him. Now, would you say Jesus is pretty holy? Okay. Now, in the Old Testament tabernacle, which was a picture of better things to come, how holy did you have to be to get into the Holy of Holies? You had to make sure you were completely under the atonement and confessed up and all the sacrificial things in place, which is only a picture of God demanding perfection. So in order to be in Christ, you had to be made holy. You could not be a temple of the Holy Spirit without first being made holy. Who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and holiness and redemption. So that's the package deal that you received. Ephesians 1 verse 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. You know, this was God's idea. He came up with this to make you holy. Even before time, in God's mind, you were chosen. And what were you chosen for? To become one with Jesus. So here to make you holy and blameless. So he could seat you in Christ. That is his gift to you. And my job is just to hold up the mirror this morning. Again. And after speaking about the holiness of God, which is without question, it's his character, it's who he is. And I'm glad about that. I'm glad God isn't an unholy God, because we wouldn't be here. I'm glad God is a loving God. I'm glad God knows all things, is all present, and is all powerful. But his holiness separates him and sets him aside. And in order to be in him, he had to make you and me holy and blameless. Back to my balloon illustration. Everyone remember my balloon illustration? Alright. I'm not going to do the part on this side of the cross, which was when you were unsaved, the black balloon. Remember the black balloon? You know? What would pop a black balloon? A big needle or a small needle? Any old needle. Sin destroyed us. We become a new creature. Sin nature taken out of us. Forgiven, made holy. Okay, so yeah, we got Byron and Jessica. Okay. Here's Byron and Jessica now. They've been set apart by one sacrifice, sanctified. Okay. But Jessica is far more spiritual than Byron. And she finds out who she really is in the Lord. And she gives her, she's saved, you see? And, it's just an illustration. So Byron, don't be intimidated. Now, she's looking in the mirror of who she really is, or this person finds out who they really are in Christ now, that they're not becoming holy in progressive measures where they have to feel guilty most of the time, and then they have to go and get forgiven, and then try harder and get another chance, and then fail and then try again, and I've got to be a balloon. Am I a balloon yet? I don't know, let me try some more. Now she's found out she's a balloon. She's found out she's righteous in Christ. She's seated in heavenly places. She's found out she's been set apart and made sanctified. Well, Byron here missed a Bible study. He didn't get a church that Sunday they talked about those things, you know. Here's my question. Which one is a balloon? You're such a smart class. You're such a smart class. And it's not about this one trying to be a better balloon and this one trying to be a better balloon. And if I blow harder and if I... Let me just let it down gently. Put it back where it is. You see, what went wrong in the original creation of man? He was made in God's image. Would you say that's pretty holy? If he was like God, okay? And then temptation came along to try and become what he already was. So he devised a method by which if he did good and resisted evil, he could become progressively holy. You see, holiness isn't something that results from good works. Good works are something that result from holiness. It's completely the other way around. And man was created holy to do good works, but then try to depend on good works, eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, to become what he really was. And the moment he did that, he died. Because he was no longer living by faith anymore, he was living by law, religion, works. And God loved mankind too much to just squash it out and say, let's start again. He said, I will come as a man and I will redeem fallen man through a man, Christ Jesus. And then we talk about last Adam, who came in the same physical body, same limitations, same earth, and lived a sinless, perfect life. Which says that anyone who's a new creature with a new nature of Christ in them can choose to live one day at a time without sinning. Now, I didn't say we don't sin. And I didn't say we can't sin. But we actually don't have an excuse to sin. But our holiness as a gift isn't because we did good works. Our holiness as a gift causes us to walk in good works. Amen?
Amen.
So both are holy, both are righteous, but in the same way first Adam fell because he tried to become something that he already is, that's the same temptation that you and I are faced with every day of our lives, in our Christian life. Trying to get what we already got. And there's another word for that, it's unbelief. And we are called to live by faith. And what are we living faith on? The finished work of Jesus. We have to keep standing on it. We have to keep confessing it. We have to keep believing it. I tell you what, I'm so excited. I want to write a book. I'm going to call it The Confessions of a Pastor. Who preached a mixture of law and grace for 15, 20 years. But who's found that there's a pure stream. A pure stream in God. And we don't claim that we've arrived and we've got there and we now, you know, but at least we're moving in the right direction. And it's been two years already. And that's why I'm so excited about this coming conference, because it feels like we're taking another step forward. We've settled some things. When we hear things that have a paradigm to fit in. I believe in the local church and I believe in the apostolic ministry. Let me just say that. Those are two things I've clearly seen scripture. And when we have someone like Robin Finney coming in to minister, I don't just see them as guest speakers to come and give us a little wow for one weekend. I see a God-given gift. He gave gifts of pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles who come. I believe there's an apostolic gift coming to this church. Holiness is not the way to be like Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. My third point. The benefit. So we've looked at the standard, that's God. We've looked at the gift, and the gift is that holiness is not the way to be like Christ, but Christ is the way of holiness. And now thirdly, we want to look at the benefit. And I've already said it this morning, but holiness doesn't result from good works, but good works result from holiness. You see, when we understand that we have this new nature in us, that's a gift, that is a holy nature, then when you look in the mirror, you don't have to see yourself as 80%, 20%, righteous, unrighteous. But you can in the spirit see someone who's been made completely holy. Do you know that that's a wonderful privilege? Do you know that's an incredible benefit if we really believe that? Someone said, I can't even remember who it was, holiness is its own reward. In other words, having an understanding that He has given you a new nature, that is, He is holy, He says, you be holy. It's an empowering command. He didn't say, you now go try to be holy. He says, as there was darkness, let there be light. As I am holy, you be holy. It's an empowering command that when you are born again, your spirit man became something different. And you have a nature that's holy. Now I know we've got a top 4 inches over here, 3 or 4 inches, 2 or 3 inches, that needs to repetitively look in the mirror of God's Word to see how that holy life longs to express itself. Because the real you, the holy you, doesn't want to go out and sin. And if you know who you really are as someone who's recreated in the holiness of God, you would know that you don't want to go out and sin. Now we've got a whole minefield that we're still having to excavate and to mine out those landmines in our mind that trigger behaviors and baggage that we've accumulated over our life that we still think is the real me, that's not the real me, that was the me that was crucified, and the new me is saying, let me out! I want to live the life of Christ in me, the hope of glory. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, the Apostle Paul said. So holiness is a privilege, and the benefit of it is that you can be who you really were created to be. And you were created to be like Jesus. And the same way Jesus chose to live a life separate to God, that's the kind of life that's been put inside of you. A little girl went to her mommy once and said, Mommy, I don't want to ever sin again in my whole life. And her mother was just trying to calm her down and said, well, look, we all sin sometimes, you know. Yeah, but mommy, I don't want to sin this week. Okay, my sweetheart, maybe that's a bit too much of an ask. We all, even bad thoughts and things we do. Okay, mommy, well, I don't want to sin today. Mom said, okay, well, that's a long ask, but okay, maybe. Okay, let's say for one day you don't have to sin. Oh, yeah, really, mommy? Then I'm going to not sin for the rest of my life, one day at a time. She just understood something. She understood that the privilege of holiness can result in a life, day by day, of walking out the life of Jesus that's inside me already. But not to make me holy, because I already am holy. Wow. Look at a scripture. Romans chapter 6 and verse 22 says, But now that you have been set free from sin, say, I've been set free from sin, and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap, okay? Yeah, because now you are set free and you're a slave of God, a benefit you receive is holiness. It's this gift of this new nature, this holiness in you, and the result of that nature is Zoe life. It's abundant life. It's a life, nothing broken, nothing missing. It's a life of peace. It's a life of blessing and favor. It's Zoe life. It's a new quality of life, a new measure of life, a God kind of life that you've received. That's what that word eternal life or abundant life, as some translations say. It's from the Greek word Zoe, which means a new kind. It's a completely new kind of life. It's an abundant life that you receive. It's a privilege, because this nature inside of you, which is His gift to you, which is called holiness, reveals itself in an abundant life. Amen. You see, in the same way, you have an inheritance to pursue in your life. You have been given an inheritance. You know that if we go out and do stupid things, we can mess up the timing of that inheritance. You know that you've been given promises and purposes in that inheritance that sin will delay, or sin can mess up. I know God can still restore and redeem, but it usually takes more time then. Now, in the same way that there's consequences to our behavior that can have some limitations on our inheritance, in the same way, when the holiness of God in me becomes realized, I'm moving in faster steps into my inheritance. You've got to understand that. There's a difference between inheritance and holiness. You have been made holy. You have the nature, holy nature in you. It was the miracle of God when he spoke a creative word into your spirit. You have got a holy nature, but you still have an inheritance. And the benefit of holiness is you now can walk like Jesus. You can think like Jesus. You can talk like Jesus. You don't have to, but you can. Isn't that an amazing, freeing thought? That God would share His nature with us, who didn't deserve it, who couldn't achieve it, who fell so short of His glory in every sense of the word. Oh, there's a whole lot of other scriptures that maybe I'm not going to get to, but let me share this one. Luke 1 verse 74. That we, being delivered from the hands of our enemies, might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. Benefits of this holiness is that you can live fear-free, delivered out of the enemies who wanted to destroy you and crush you and cause your life to be miserable and a disaster. You know, if we never had a Savior, We would have never escaped the enemy's plans for our lives. We were incapable of saving ourselves. It was impossible for us to improve something that had already been condemned. We were at the scrapyard of life in shatters and in tatters. And if it wasn't for the miracle of Jesus, we would have never been delivered from the hand of our enemies. And now we can live without fear in holiness and righteousness. Not just a few days, but to our whole life. We can live looking in the mirror and saying, He has made me after His divine nature, and I am complete in Him, and as He is, so am I in this world. I don't care what the devil tells me. He can bring up my whole past and every bad thing I did. I'll just remind him about his future. But I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to remind myself that I've been created in God after holiness and righteousness, and I will serve Him in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. Fear is stripped of your life the moment you hear the truth and believe it. Let me tell you, I know when it's like driving down the road and a policeman walks up and puts his hand up, and I think, oh, I haven't got my license, I haven't got my license. And he stands there and writes out that pink ticket with a smile on his face. All that fear. And then I remember some years later, eventually after paying so many fines, I thought I should do my license. And you know, I should have done it in the first place. I could have had 3 motor cars. But now I've got my license, and the policeman stands out in the middle of the road. What's the first emotion you feel when you see the hand go up? It triggers all those old memories and all those old thoughts that you used to have, and you feel this little bit of, but then suddenly you remember you got your license in your pocket. You see, and you take it out. You see, once you discover that you've been set free from the enemy, you don't have to live in fear anymore. You don't have to live in guilt anymore. You don't have to live in condemnation anymore. Because as holy as God is, He said, I'm going to share my holiness with you and make you holy after me. And as I am holy, you are holy by one sacrifice. You've been set aside, set apart to be in His nature. Oh, this is good news. Finish with the scripture, 2 Peter 3, verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed, just before this he spoke about the ends of the earth, the whole world, the Armageddon and the great tribulation. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Question mark. You ought to live holy and godly lives. This is not a statement of prescription. This is a statement of description. It's saying, in the midst of all that's going on in the world right now, why don't you just be yourself? Why don't you be the real you? The moment you think you've got to now do something to get back to holy, now we're going to tear out all those other scriptures. You can see how the enemy plays with our mind. Then you get scriptures like, those ones. Because even the devil knows his Bible. He knows which ones to bring condemnation. But you ought to live a holy life. Why? Because we want to take hold of our inheritance. We don't want to lose out on what God's got for us. And how are you going to do that? Be yourself. Be the real you. Stop letting your mind dictate to you who you think you should be, because that's not the real you. Stop looking at your past and thinking that's who I am, because that's not the real you. Don't even listen to other people who limit you and hold you back as if that's the real you. You are not in those boxes. You are in God's box. So be who you are. You've been made blameless. You've been given righteousness. You've got a new nature that's holy. You can live in that holiness. Let me finish off with this profound statement. Which balloon's having the most fun at the birthday party? This one or this one? Because all the kids want to play with it. This one's just lying in a box somewhere. Which one's the balloon? Which one's having fun? You see, holiness isn't intended to be a somber, serious, sterile, vanilla-flavored Christianity. I am holy, brother. Are you holy, sister? There's no holiness in this church. We need to have more holiness. How can you get what you already got? But what you can do is you can enjoy it. And by enjoying it, you're going to live in your inheritance. This is good news. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray for any people who are sitting here this morning who've heard the gospel, who deep in their heart saying, I don't know if I've ever made Jesus Christ my Lord. And this gift that I heard this morning, that's what I want. Then I want to pray for you right now. If that's you and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. I want you right now, just in your heart, as we just all praying for you in this building. In your heart, I want you to say this prayer with me. Just to the Lord. Say, Father, I've heard the gospel of your grace. I've heard that you are a holy God. And that by my own efforts, I could never reach your standard of holiness. But through Jesus Christ, I receive a gift, a new nature on the inside of me, created in holiness. This morning, I receive your free gift by putting my faith in Jesus' death and his burial and his resurrection.